how do you deliver or how do you maintain good customer service in your business?
I remember when I came to training just over 6.5 years ago, there was someone giving us a talk and they said if the top performers answer the phone within 10 minutes of being called and the really top performers answer the lead within 2 minutes. So I set myself, I said, oh, I've got to be the very top performer, so I'll go for the 2 minute. I'm all about giving them that very positive first experience, because once they get that positive first experience of, oh, I was typing in to the gym's portal and I said I wanted this done, and then all of a sudden the phone rang and this fella from gym's, and he's saying to me, thanks for your inquiry, which sounds like you want some gardening work done, would love to meet with you. When's a good time for us to come out and have a discussion on site so we can see what you need and we can work out what we can do? People will love that. I think it creates that great first contact point of, this person's interested, they're motivated, they want to help me. And often the feedback I get is, I've called other gardeners, that is other independents or other franchises, and it took hours for someone to get back to me.
So thanks for joining us today. We've got Richard Furler and we also have Roger Bennett from Jim's Mowing. Roger, you reached out to us with a really in-depth submission about coming on the podcast and talking about what you and Richard have done. And without further ado, let's just start with a bit about your submission, Roger. You went to a lot of detail on there. And maybe just tell a bit about what you put on there and just explain to the Jim's Mowing and Jim's Group franchisees what you've done.
Thanks, Joel. Going to try and do this verbatim without looking at any notes, so we'll see how I go. About 2 years ago, Richard was involved with a gym's mowing franchise. He had two areas, one that was near to my home and the other one that was a little further away nearer to his home. And Richard was suffering with some soreness, which was rapidly turning into it was going to be a hip replacement. And he'd put up his two rounds for sale, but there'd been no buyers, no bites on either of those two areas. And so I said to him, look, I feel like it was me that said it, but it probably was Richard. He said, what if we did this thing where you buy the area that's close to your home that I'm trying to sell, and we'll sell your existing franchise area to a new franchisee, which is about 30 minutes from my home, the one that I first started out with. And that'll get you some closer to home because you've been building up customers there. We know that. Richard and I are good friends and we've been discussing that. And then let's see if you can just manage some of my clients for a little bit while I see what's going to happen for me. And I said, yep, I can help you with that. So we did that, and I began to take on the clients that he had in that territory that he'd sold me, one of his territories close to my home. And it occurred to me at that time that I could see that Richard was going to end up in a situation where he would have to have hip surgery. It was fairly obvious just watching him walk around, watching him when he was doing work on site whenever I drove past. And I said, look, Richard, I think that we can do something that will give you some value. Rather than you just walking away from gyms, walking away from all of your customers, leaving everybody, including yourself, feeling like you've been left in the lurch because of your injury, how about we get some value for everybody out of this? Some value for you, some value for your customers because they have continuity of service, and some value for me putting this together for you. So what we did was we put it together as two separate areas. The first area he had already sold to me, but we split off part of that area and we turned it, in our case, into what's called Jim's Mowing Ross Trevor West. And we put some of Richard's customers and some of my customers into that territory. We made it up to about, I think it was about 45 customers. And that was sold to a new franchisee. And he's doing really, really well. He started with great pricing. He came in, he's really industrious bloke, and he's got some people working with him. He's doing very well out of that. So that was sort of the first stage. And we've got to bear in mind at this point, Richard had been trying to sell these two areas for probably about 12 to 18 months. Richard will correct me if I'm wrong on that. But what had been happening was there was no traction, nothing was happening. He was feeling like, I'm just going to have to walk away. And I said, no, I don't think we have to walk away. We can actually make this work for all of us. So we did the first split, but the first split was actually done with his territory that was close to his home. That's just the way it worked out. So we sold off his home territory of Norwood, and the new guy came in, and Richard mentored the new guy into taking out all of those customers because he had some fairly complex gardening customers in there that the new fellow had to work with and understand what they had to do. So Richard went above and beyond, but we got a result from him in terms of his customers all got serviced. He got money for selling the round. The new guy got a good round with customers at good prices. And then I've sort of gone about this backwards. We then did the split in Ross Trevor and that got sold to the new guy. So I'm sorry that it was a bit verbatim and it didn't go in actual sequence, but you can see what we were trying to do from the start. We were trying to get a result for everyone that it was a win-win for everybody. And we did, but it took a bit of trust between Richard and I.
It's amazing what you've done to help out and how you guys have been creative in creating that solution. Because you're right, most people would just walk away and that's it. But, you know, credit to you both for coming up with that solution and really driving. It's really unique and something that I hope other franchisees, when they hear it, they might start thinking about this if this ever happens to them. And Richard, how's everything going with you now as well?
It was actually a bit more drastic than that. we're talking about this proposed split and doing whatever, but actually what triggered was my son ended up getting brain cancer. That meant I just had to walk. I just had to leave. He needed 24/7 care, and just the family situation meant that the obvious choice was that I had to walk. I had to leave. And then about a month or two after that, I thought I might as well get my hip looked at, and yeah, I ended up with a hip replacement. So we've also got to thank Shane Fora and our franchisor about this, because this, you know, there are franchisees that unfortunately do get into a position where they just have to walk away from the business. So the thing with Roger and I is we went to Shane with a proposal and said, look, Shane, I've got to walk away from the business. This is what we plan to do. And I ended up walking away from the business, and Shane took over both areas. Over the next probably year, 18 months, I helped out in the process of selling these clients and helping the new franchisees, or one in particular, take on these fairly complex clients. So it was a bit more drastic from my point of view, and eternally grateful for Roger's help. So it was a win-win situation for all three of us. Mm-hmm. Shane got an extra franchisee. Roger had some work for him and his employee for a year and a half, and benefited from the sales, and, you know, and I got money from my franchise. So yeah, it was a great win-win all the way around, and a flexible solution that was in the best interest of everybody in the end.
How's everything going now, Richard? Is everything okay, or is it just, how's everything going for you?
With me, the hip replacement went really well, and I'm better now than I was for years. Just FYI for your information, this is an old sporting injury that I got in my 20s, and they said back then it'll come and hit you in the 50s. So it wasn't a gym's injury, but I think the 25,000 steps I did and tolerated the wear and tear of
rubbing on it. Yeah.
My son, as the surgeon said, if you're going to get brain cancer, that's the one to get. So he's had two brain surgeries, and he's in the middle of chemo and radiotherapy, and it's looking good for him. I think he's going to be one of the lucky ones with a good prospect of 10, 20 years of life ahead of him. So he's lucky.
That's great. Well, we all send our regards, and and thanks for sharing this story. I just think it's, you know, obviously you need to exit the business quick, and to have yourselves come together with Shane as well, because it's an important point to put out that we are in a franchise system, and it's up to the franchisor whether to improve things or not. So it's great to know that the franchisors, or Shane in particular, was able to accommodate this as much as possible. And I was going to say to you guys as well, I didn't ask you at the start, I always ask this for questions, is what were you doing prior to gyms anyway, Richard? And why did you decide on gyms mowing back when you started?
Look, I was a consulting engineer. I was an engineer, graduated from university as an engineer, ended up having my own business. I was a nationally accredited carbon auditor, nationally accredited environmental auditor for ISO 14001. When Tony Abbott got into business, everything got shut down for a while. Once the carbon economy became a financial product, because I'm not an accountant, I couldn't do my job anymore. And I just had a gutful, to be quite honest. And as I said, Tony Abbott shut everything down. And I was actually looking for something for my son, and I joined gyms, and I've loved it. I'd still love to be doing gyms, but I probably could do it, but I think I'd be a bit silly if I did. So, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm just getting to, you know, a bit of an old fella. But I loved it. I loved every minute of it, except towards the end when I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. And what were the aspects that you loved about it the most? Was it the type of work? Was it just interacting with customers, or was it being your own boss? Or what did you enjoy about it the most?
Being an engineer, I enjoyed the intellectual challenge. It's a problem-solving job. It's a have-a-go job. If you're going to stay in your safety net or your safety zone and not challenge yourself, you're not going to learn anything. You know, learning about plant diseases, learning about how to grow plants, problem solving, why isn't this plant growing well? I really enjoyed the customer aspects. The money was good. I like driving around. I like listening to the radio. It was just a really good mix of work. And then the guys that you meet with as well, and, you know, down at the pub in the meetings, then they become friends and acquaintances. And I really enjoy that aspect of it as well. And then in the years I was in gyms, I think there was only one meeting I walked away from and thought, you know, I didn't get anything out of that. Every other meeting, I learned something from somebody.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. Great to hear. And what about you, Roger? What about yourself, mate? What were you doing prior to gyms mowing, and how have you been finding it all?
Prior to gyms mowing, I was in a consultancy. It was myself as a principal and only consultant. I was consulting to small business on recruitment. So I've used some of those skills within gyms. We did mention that, you know, I had a staff member, Richard, very kindly referred me under someone else to give us a hand when we took over with Richard's clients, when we really needed that because it was a lot of work, extra work. Since joining gyms, I've set about trying to create something of a business out of this in terms of not always being the person doing the work, but more of the organizer. And so I've gone through cycles up and down and learned a lot along the way, had to learn a lot along the way. And I must say that Shane has been there, and Richard certainly has as well, in terms of just providing advice and help. And sometimes it's just a listening ear that I can have a chat with about something. I think it'd be remiss for us not to say that Richard is now working with Shane, providing support to the franchisees. So that, to me, shows the level of respect that Shane has for Richard in terms of the value that he brings to gyms mowing in South Australia.
I didn't know that, Richard. That's great. Do you want to tell us about, so you're on the phone support, or what's that role in particular for you?
Just before that, one of the things I loved was working with my sons and their mates. So, you know, that was, and showing them the way. But yeah, look, Shane asked me if I was interested in helping out with the proactives. So the proactives are calling all of the franchisees every month just to make sure that they're okay. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, you ring someone up and say, I just fell off the back of the ute and broke my hip. I'm in hospital at the moment. You know, that was one of the cases. And you ring up the new guys every week until they achieve $2,000 a week turnover, and just giving them tips and hints, turning up the meetings and meeting the guys is, again, I love doing that and catching up and putting a name to a face, just giving them tips and tricks. And as Roger said, sometimes it can be just a matter of being an ear to talk to, because every business is different. Everyone's got a different approach. And, you know, that's the beauty of the business is that, you know, I took over my mentor, Steve Burdett, who taught me how to mow lawns and my whippersnipper. He catches the grass in every job. Well, I bought a franchise where the guy didn't catch any grass. So I was in this dilemma. What do you do? So I ended up, you know, somewhere in the middle. So, you know, it's just the diversity of interests and the things that you can do within gyms is, you know, great.
Well, as Roger said to you, it's a great credit that you're the support person in the region. You know, I know a few people in mowing regions, there's a lot of franchisees and they need help, and there's probably only a handful of people who are franchisees who do what you do. So well done on that. That must be a good testament to what, as Roger said, the people in the gyms region think of you.
Oh, thank you. That's good. Thank you. Yeah.
So, yep, the only reason I know, because obviously Jim owns a few regions and we have managers in place. So I know there's a handful of guys who are employed in the regions, similar to what you do, Richard. So it's obviously the best of the best who get those roles. So no, well done to yourself on that position. It's really good. And I was going to say as well, Roger, with what you're doing as well. So you said you've got employment experience. Now, this is something just off the cuff from your experience, from both of you guys, probably franchisees struggle to find good workers. So what's your advice, you know, for where they should be advertising? What are some things they should be looking for maybe, or how can they try and find some better people? Because it's a big problem for a lot of gyms franchisees in the group. What are your thoughts around that sort of stuff?
From my experience, the key before you go and look for someone is to know what you're offering and who you're looking for. And I'll give you an example. So I've just put out an advertisement again today for, because we need another person. And what I was very clear about is this is the way we work. In our franchise, we work individually. So we have one vehicle and that person goes out in that vehicle. Then there's another vehicle and that person goes out in that vehicle. And then every so often, bigger jobs will come together and work as a team. So people have to be comfortable with working alone. And for some people, they love it. And for other people, they don't. And so up front, I'm saying this is what your week is going to look like when you're working for us. We use all battery-powered equipment. So if you don't like putting a backpack on your back that might weigh up to 7 kilos, that's the big one. And you won't have to put it on your back all the time, but there's a small one. But what I'm saying is if you don't like the idea of putting 7 kilos on your back, then you're not for us. I'm trying to give people this out of saying they read it and they go, oh, this sounds good. You know, full training provided, you pay for it. We're being paid while we're being trained and we're getting this really nice equipment that's, you know, commercial grade. It's the Pelling equipment.
Pelling stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So they know that we set a high standard, but they also know that there's a bit of an out. If they look at it and go, you know what, that's not me. I can't work alone. I want to work in a team. Great. I've saved them and me quite a bit of time and quite a bit of conversation that they don't need to have with me because they'll, or worst case, which is I had with one of the guys I employed, we got several months in and he came to me and he said, I don't like working by myself. I want to work in a group. And so he found another gardening, it was a gardening company, and they work in pairs and he loves it. And so that to me was the thing that I realized was we've got to tell people what we are up front. This is the way we work. This is who we are. These are some people that we are. And then we'll get people who we're authentic about who we are and they'll understand they can be authentic about who they are without being, without them discovering all of a sudden, oh, this is not who the person who I thought I was going to work with, or this is not the work I thought I was going to do even. So as an example, I have been told by a couple of guys that they'll do a trial under the Gardening and Landscaping Services Award. You can do half shift trials. So some people will offer, come work with me for a day. We'll do half a day unpaid and then the other half can be paid. And so if you'd love it and you get to the end of that 4 hours and you want to keep going, we can keep going and you get paid. But if you get 2 or 3 hours in, just step away from it and you can move on, or we can move on. I mean, I could talk about, you can probably tell from the passion that I've got, I could talk about this in a lot of ways. I've done a lot in terms of training as well, because I think that's really important. Getting people going quickly, so I can train someone within a week to do every single task to about 70 to 80% of what my standard is. And that's just from using a psychological technique of giving immediate feedback. And when I mean immediate feedback, that is getting the new employee to go out and say, do mowing, and correcting every single time they go off course for the way the mower should be going around the lawn, as an example. And they just learn like that. So I used to take me 4 weeks. I tried this technique. I can get it down to 1 week, as an example. So I share that too for anyone who's looking to take on employees. It's really important that you can do that training, because then you'll get them up to speed a lot quicker and you won't have that pressure of everything being slow. So,
yeah, and I think that people might find it hard to take a step back sometimes. They've got a big run and stuff and they're putting on this guy and expecting just to come in and do their stance from day one and get frustrated when it doesn't happen. But you've got to, as you said, you've got to put that time in, that intensive time, and know, look, maybe that week or two, maybe I should put the jobs back a bit or something just to make sure I can focus my attention on that. Because I think that's, doesn't matter if you work in the field or at an office or something, when you're having teams and stuff like that, training is so important. And ultimately, it's your responsibility as a business owner to provide training. You know, they're only going to be as good as your training, really, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That's exactly right.
I was going to say to you, Richard, from your experience now with coaching the guys, what do you tell them from employing people's perspective? How do you go with that?
Well, first of all, tell them it's not as scary as it seems. Cut payment through the ATO that you get a program and they can be quite cost effective. That handles the award wages, the pay slips, all of that type of thing. So it's not as scary as you think. I think there are, again, with every gym is different. They source people from lots of different areas, whether it be from an employment agency whether it be an ad in Gumtree, whether it be an ad in Facebook Messenger. The other one would be to go to the local high school or technical college in the area and put your phone number up saying that you look for somebody. But I think that the core is that you got to be upfront and you got to not just treat them as a labour source as well. There are a couple of guys having success with apprentices as well, so that the person working for them commits to them for 3 years and ends up with a certificate in horticulture at the end of it, which I think is a great way to start off your career in horticulture. That doesn't mean to say that you're a Jim's mowing guy or a mowing guy for the rest of your life, but you get a good certificate that puts you in good stead into the future. So there's no one way that people do it. Roger puts a lot of thought into his business, and you know that's commendable. And maybe more people should do that as well.
For sure. I was going to say as well, the customer service as well, the standards. I want to talk about the difference with the gym's standards maybe compared to others, because I'd look at your record, Roger, on here. You got a great record and star rating, a lot of really good positive feedback. So if you want to just outline for people how you deliver or how you maintain good customer service in your business.
Yeah, for sure, Joel. I remember when I came to training just over 6.5 years ago, that there was someone giving us a talk, and they said if the top performers answer the phone within 10 minutes of being called, and the really top performers answer the lead, they'll either take it when it comes through from the call center, or they'll answer that text message when it pings within 2 minutes. So I set myself, I said, I've got to be the very top performer, so I'll go for the 2 minutes. So I've surprised customers consistently by when they call and they come through the call center, they get me on the phone. And that means it's been a challenge because I often have to stop working and talk to them. But I'm all about giving them that very positive first experience, because once they get that positive first experience of, I was typing in to the gym's portal and I said I wanted this done, and then all of a sudden the phone rang and it's this fella from gym's, and he's saying to me, look, thanks for your inquiry. Sounds like you want some gardening work done. Would love to meet with you. When's a good time for us to come out and have a discussion on site so we can see what you need and we can work out what we can do? People love that. I think it creates that great first contact point of, this person is interested, they're motivated, they want to help me. And often the feedback I get is, I've called other gardeners, that is other independents or other franchises, and it took hours for someone to get back to me. I'm not perfect, I would say this. So I've had some instances where either I missed the text message, or more recently I was diverting calls to another number and it didn't work, and people send a complaint, as they should, through Jim saying, didn't hear from you. And I felt probably as bad as they felt, and even worse, because my standard is that they get a call straight away. They get me come out within 24 hours, generally at the site, if possible. Some people, that's not possible for them. They need me to come out, you know, maybe in a couple of days. But I want to be there. I want to show them we're enthusiastic and we'd like to give them a great experience. Because there are average experiences that people have had with gardening and mowing services, and we want them to have a great experience. We just love it. It'll build our business. And they'll also end up with a fantastic garden because we're onto it. We're always checking to make sure that everything is done. We want to make sure that they can enjoy their garden. That's really what drives us.
For sure. Yeah, because there's always a lot of heat online between independents and gyms, and we obviously put out a lot of content that gets shared in those local, the Lawn Mowing Contractors Association, every video I put up gets shared in there, and there's a bloody comments, and I get it all the time because I just want to, I always think there's a lot of good independents out there as well, but as you would know, you know, just like anything, there are, you know, people that let it, you know, let the industry down, and it's those sorts of things that go missing or this and that. I'm not saying we're all 100% best, but there's a lot of issues as well that you guys would hear about from customers and stuff coming to you guys, you know, just from previous experiences with independents. And that's not having a shot at them, so hopefully this doesn't get shared in their group, but it does go both ways as well. But I was going to say, Richard, as well, with your new guys as well, how do you coach them with the customer service stuff? Because, you know, there might be a complaint early, they might get early on, and how do you go about coaching them with that, and what standards are you sort of telling them to put into place for their business?
One of the approaches I had with my own franchise, and I still do now, is that the systems that Jim Penman has put in is designed to help you in your business. When you get a complaint, and I, it was exactly the same, a lot of the guys take it really personally.
Yeah.
And I've had my complaints, and I've had what I call batshit crazy clients that there's just no way that you can help them. You've just got to, you know, everything in gyms is just designed to help you. And so when Jim gets in touch with you and says, you know, you got a complaint, or you got, you know, the client isn't happy, you really just got to sit back and look at yourself and say, well, he's been doing it for a long time. The systems are in place. What am I doing that I can improve to help the business? And every time that's happened, I've actually improved the business, my own business. What I mentor the guys in terms of customer relations is just simple things like when you turn up, turn your phone off or isolate it and smile in a revision mirror and go in and be happy. People want to deal with people who are pleasant to deal with. They don't want to, you know, somebody who's grumpy. Some of the guys that have been in for a while, I used to do sales coaching. I used to be a Dale Carnegie consultant and, you know, just help the guys through and talk about things that, have you ever tried this approach?
But how don't you win friends and influence people, that book? Sorry to interrupt you, because I find it interesting. So I think a lot of people have, I can't let that one slide. That Dale Carnegie consultant. So I didn't know that was a thing. So what happened? Did you just go in and teach people in person the principles off that book, or how was that?
I could actually probably rephrase it. I was a Dale Carnegie graduate assistant.
Oh, okay.
Well, I did the course, the bucks of the course, and then I probably redid it about 10 times as an assistant. Well, yeah. You sit up the back and you have class participants, and there'd be four of us up the back and we'd have little groups and we'd be coaching the people. So I did that. I did that in New Zealand and in South Australia for quite a few years. I did their sales course. It works. It's over 100 years old and it works. That's all people relation skills. So there's, you know, I've got quite a bit of background and knowledge that I can just impart on people. For example, you know, just one of the things is, and it happens all the time, not giving them written quotes. Well, how do you give them a written quote, and what do you do to really protect yourself from clients that you're never going to satisfy or unreasonable? So there's lots of little techniques. So one of them, you give them two choices. So say, well, I've given you a quote for this mowing. Do you want to start next week or the week after? Or I could do it now if you like. You don't give them an opportunity to say no. You just lots of little techniques that can make a big difference to people. And quite often just overcoming objections. If somebody, you know, an objection is just an opportunity to enhance the relationship. I say to people, for example, whatever you think you know about mowing a lawn, forget about it. Because every client has got a way that they want to mow their lawn that is specific to them. So you really got to understand what it is they want. I had one lady that didn't want any scalping of the lawn. So I was there every week in summer in irrigation to make sure I didn't scalp the lawn. And you got another client, for example, that doesn't care, that they just want to smash down for the cheapest price that you can get. And as long as your hourly rate and you're making good income and they're a good payer, then, you know, they can be good clients as well. So they're just little tips that I've picked up over a long period of time. And, you know, I get tips from Jimbo's as well in this role. Astro say, you know, you start quoting from the top. You quote, well, I can prune this tree. This is the best way to do it. This will give you the best flowers and the best shape. This is going to be the price. And if the client doesn't want to do that and say, well, we can cut costs, we can do it this way. That will give you this result, but it'll cost a bit less. So there's lots of things that you can teach. But from the Dale Carnegie perspective, my sales career and consulting career off after that. Just human relations, really.
Yeah, it's a great listen, and it's obviously on Audible. And I think Jim's listened to it a few times, but I don't know how much it's worked for Jim, but he's getting a bit better socially, but he's definitely makes an effort and does listen to that book quite regularly. There's another one called Atomic Habits as well, which he listens to a bit. But I mean, it's a fantastic thing. And there you go. I've never met anyone who's done the training stuff with him. That's quite remarkable. And I'm sure you've heard it so much. So what maybe for franchisees are the three real dot points from that book that they could probably implement in their business tomorrow? You mentioned a couple, like, you know, smiling in the mirror and that sort of thing. But what are some, maybe at least three quick points or quick tips from that book that they could apply or you've applied in your mowing business previously?
The one that stands out is to talk in terms of the interests of your client. And what I mean by that is, yeah, you've got to have a good rate of pay, you've got to get paid and that type of thing. But the client really isn't interested in that. They're interested in what they want. I'll talk in terms of what they want. Well, do you want me to do this? For example, if a client says, look, I want to be there and open up the place for you, and say, well, that actually means that it's going to take me more time. It means that you have to open the gate, and if you're not there, then the place is insecure. So I used to walk around with quite good padlocks. They were $20 each, and say, look, buy the padlock off me. I'll stick it on the gate. Here's a key. Give them a key and say, I can come in on that day that I'll tell you I'm going to be there, or even that week. Doesn't really matter, but I'll be there. It gets unlocked when I'm there and it gets locked when I leave. And if you don't want me to turn up, you just remove the padlock and put another one on. And it's just talking in terms of interest of the other person. And then, well, look, I'd have to go through the list, but I can't think of anything more off the top of my head. But that's probably the big one, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I've interviewed a few franchisees and they've said a similar thing in regards to, you know, if you're rocking up to a house, taking notice of what they've actually got planted and knowing the name of the plan, or they've got a unique vehicle in the driveway or whatever it is, right? And then saying, you know, I see you got this in your garden, or I see you got this or whatever. And then they form a relationship that way. And that's been quite common amongst them, successful franchisees.
Compliment them. You know, if you're there just doing the lawns, you say, hey, that's a great head. He's looking after that. And you might not get the job, but I've learned a lot from other gardeners on how they go about hedging, for example, how they do this. And then you say to them, look, if I can't be number one, I'll be number two. If something happens to the other person, I'm here waiting,
And Rod, that's great. And I was going to say, Roger, what about yourself, your business? How many people do you currently have and how many regulars are currently in your business?
So we have, I think it's 75 regulars. And I have one full-time person and I have a part-time person just helping me when I get the bigger cleanup jobs or the initial gardening job where I have to do a lot more work to get a garden back to some sort of normality before we begin a monthly service with them.
And you've also been with us since 2017. So have you found being in business for yourself for the last 6 years?
I've done a lot of learning in terms of running a business, and I'm much more over the numbers now than I ever was. I've certainly learnt a lot in terms of the operation of a business. I think I understood early on the power of the gym's brand in terms of being recognised, walking in, you know, I've got this on, and I get called Jim often. And I say, that's my middle name, because it is my middle name. So, you know, I have that joke that, you know, Jim and I both have the same middle name, you know. I'm called Jim, he's called Jim. That's, but then I say, I'm actually Roger, that's Jim, and Jim's a real person, and that sort of thing. People have a laugh about that as well. So the brand is very strong and well recognized. I can walk on any property, people know who I am in terms of the brand. But then operations side is so key to giving people a great service. If you get it right and people are getting constant communication from us, and communication is the key, then they feel they've been heard, they feel that things are happening, they know what's going to happen, and they're willing to listen to us. We're always suggesting things that could be done in the garden, no matter what it is. We're telling them, oh, you need to do something with the hedge, or if in thinking ahead for Christmas, you need to be doing this in the garden. And you've made me think, and I'll put it out there. I think it was probably 4 years ago, Shane did an interview with me and several other franchisees, and it gets used in the TV ads for new franchisees. And the amount of people said, you're the guy in the ad. So Shane's still running the ad in South Australia. Now I get recognition as, I know you, you're the guy in the ad. So that's just been a real, thanks Shane. It's been really good for my business to be the guy in the ad that comes up. I don't know what time, it seems to be Sunday mornings or something. He's picked this spot and I've had people say, I know you from somewhere. And I think, I know where you know me from. But that's two in terms of a recognition of me. It's like I walk in and they sort of think they know me already because they've heard me talk. And here I am, and I talk the same way. I'm the same person when I roll up to the house. There's a bit of trust there already, as well as the gym's brand.
And what would you say, Richard, as well? We always see this comment online with independence, right? It's always the thing, you know, don't pay gym anything, go start it yourself and do a few letterbox drops and, you know, you'll have a big business within a week. So what's your sort of pros and cons between the independent route and being a gym's buying franchisee from your experience, Richard?
The guy who's also been on TV called Jim Lamontagne, who's a gym. And when he joined the business, I mentored him. And you do, you get this great resource from all your other gyms. You know, we have meetings and Jim was just blown away with the amount of help that offering him free of charge just by going to the pub and the meetings. He was just blown away. And he finds that the system just works. The independent route is a hard route or a hard way to go about it. It's very hard to generate leads. We've got another guy down the south of Adelaide who was an independent and started, and he got something like 3 leads in 6 months as an independent. He got more than that in his first week in gyms, and he just loves being a part of gyms. You get the support from your other gyms network and your franchisor. It's really the technical expertise is where the magic happens in the meetings. And the other thing, your brand recognised, and so that you're known and accepted a lot more, and that means that you're charging at the top of the market rather than as an independent. A lot of independents charge probably half of what we do. I was speaking to a Jimbo yesterday. He says, look, I'm the most expensive guy in this town, and there are independents out there charging less than half I am. So he's charging $80 an hour, independents are charging $30. It's a much harder road as an independent. Gyms is really good for people like me who knew nothing about gardening when you started. You get the training up front, you get the support. It's just a whole lot easier being part of a group. The other thing that amazed me is I knocked on this lovely young lady, attractive lady's door one day, and she looked at me and she smiled and said, oh, you're from gyms? Yeah, well, great, you're on time. And she opened the door and we walked through her house to the backyard. And I'm going, man, she's crazy letting a stranger in through the door. But really, she recognized the gym's brand. She knows I'm police check. She knows I'm not getting away with anything. And she was comfortable for me to walk through the house alone with her into the backyard. And there's some very funny stories there that you get by knocking on people's doors. That stood out for me early on is the amount of trust that the brand has picked up over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's a good point, Richard. And it just keeps building as well. We're in 2023 and you think about, I think we did 600,000 new leads or something last year, right? And that just keeps, and all the goodwill of that just keeps building and building and building. And when you come in 2024, 2025, you're leveraging off all those goodwill and all the good jobs that people do with that. It does really mean something. And I was going to say, Roger, as well, looking back on where you started, you know, because it can be quite a scary experience, you know, leaving what you're doing and coming to gyms and especially traveling to Vic. So looking back on your time at the training and how you've gone now, how would you describe that from the start? Is it as scary as what it can be sometimes? That's the hardest decision sometimes, is just making a decision to quit whatever you're doing and then book into Melbourne to come to training. How was that all process when you look back on it?
When I look back at it, the comment from many people who knew me was that they didn't think I would do something like this. It just didn't seem like me. And what I mean by that is they were used to me being in a suit and tie. So I wasn't in a suit and tie and I was out there working. They thought that was quite astounding. But the training was one of those things where I think someone used the word, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. So you can't take it all in that week. You've just got to take in as much as you can. And you've got to say to yourself, I'm going to go and I'm going to learn these things over time. And it took me some time to realize that that's what I needed to do, that I needed to systematically apply each of the principles in the business. And I was coming, I'd bought into a round that the fellow was retiring. There was, I think, 85 customers and it was all mine. From what I remember, it was, and I was racing around by myself, just trying to get as much money done as I could.
And then when it rained, of course, then I'd be like, I'll be behind. So, you know, I'm going to work even harder. And it came to me eventually that I should raise my price, especially with the encouragement of Richard and others saying, look, your price is too low per hour. To raise your price, you need to provide a fantastic service. The quality of the cut that you provide, the quality of the hedging, et cetera, the quality of the work that you're doing is really high, but you're not charging enough. And that's why you're not making enough money to afford new equipment and those sorts of things. So I brought my prices up, and all of a sudden the business was quite profitable in terms of it allowed me to throw away money for future purchases to say, okay, when the time comes for a new trailer, when the time comes for new equipment, I will be able to afford it because I put the money aside, because I'm not an employee. I'm a self-employed business owner, and I need to make it into a business, not see it as me doing a job. Because if I treat it as me doing a job, I'll just pocket the money and say, great, that was a great week, or that was a great year, or whatever. And then eventually all of the expenses of the business will catch up with me, and I wonder what happened. And I remember very clearly that it's happened once when I couldn't afford a new mower, and I vowed from then on I was going to make sure that I could afford a new mower. That was the absolute bare minimum. And I was going to put away money into super, and I was going to put away money for holidays so I could have holidays that I was paying myself to have those holidays, not just working all the time.
I was going to say, guys, before I let you go today, Richard, is there any standout stories from your time as Jim's Mowing? Was there any customer stories or something that stands out to you whilst you were a franchisee?
Look, it really is just you work hard as a GMs, and joining GMs for a lot of people is a big step and a heck of a lot of money, and it's quite scary. And then when you get into GMs, you work flat out, and there's a lot of really good operators that are really tired in the first or second year. And then they work out that they need to have a bit more energy and not work quite so hard. And then start, you know, when they get their hourly rate up and they start working well, and they get great relationships with their clients. And for me, it's the relationship with your clients. And then after a while, you get smart and you realize that I watched Dip Man, and the two martial art teachers were there, and they were saying it's really hard for a student to find a good master. And the master said it's even harder for a master to find a good student. And I always take that into clients. It's hard for a client to find a good gardener. And they become very loyal to your services. And even though I left GMs and sold, and I was mentoring the other guy, I think quietly some of my customers, even 2 years later, were waiting for me to come back magically. And I think they're just realizing that I'm not coming back. And I think that story is that the clients become very loyal to you. And they will, you know, and there are plenty of guys that I've met that have been sick for 6 weeks, and the clients hang on to them. So I think for me, the story is, you know, if you need to take the 2 weeks off, your clients are loyal to you, and that's a reflection on the business. And there are many examples of that. It's probably not the answer you expected, but, you know, the relationships, yeah, they become your friends. And, you know, another, we all have our charities, one or two, you can't have too many, but, you know, I remember going to mow a guy's lawn. And it always had to be on a Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. You go mow the lawn, and then you go and sit in his shed and you have a few beers with him. And he used to make his homemade cabanas, and took me a while to like that because I wasn't quite too sure on the health and safety. But, you know, for a year or two. So they're the big things that sort out in my mind. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. I was going to say to you, Roger, what about yourself, mate? What, has there been any standout stories for you or customer stories that you can think off the top of your head?
I've got a standout story, and I'll make it brief. So I've listened to the Jim's podcast many times, and Jim talks about the value or not value in a degree.
Yes. Yes.
And I've heard your story and how you haven't practiced law. I think you got a law degree, so you didn't practice law. You found yourself in a completely different space. Well, I started out in 2011, a degree in psychological science. And last year, I got to the point where I thought maybe I could I've almost finished. I stopped doing the degree when I, just before I joined gyms, I stopped working on the degree. And so I thought, Jim got his PhD while he was mowing lawns. Maybe I could just get a degree. You know, if I could aim for something, I'll go for the degree. So I'll finish it off. And so with a fair amount of work behind the scenes, I got everything set up. I have to give a shout out to my employees, in particular, one of them, Harley, who really, he just picked up the reins and he knew what I was trying to aim for, which was to finish the degree. And it was going to be difficult for all of us. And with the support of my wife to say, yeah, get it done. You won't then have a regret that you never finished it. So I finished it and I graduated this year. Now, I may not use it. And certainly I'll never be, from what I can see, be a psychologist, because there's another 3 years full-time to get to being a psychologist. But I learned valuable things from doing that degree. And it was an absolute thrill to be finally graduating, because I'm the first in my family to graduate as well. So there's a bit of history making there as well. And in the end, if it weren't for the influence of gyms and the people within gyms who'd shown me that perhaps this was possible and I was going to push it a lot further than what most thought were possible, I did it. And we ran the business and we managed to make the business still generate income while I was studying furiously to finish my degree, and very happy that I finished and did very well in the degree in the end. But that's my story. I thought that impressive. Yeah, give someone a bit of juice if there's something they really want to do, but they don't want to give up on their gym's business. They can come and have a chat with me about how we did it.
It's good stuff, Roger. I've actually interviewed another franchisee in New South Wales who's doing a law degree currently and has a team of like four or five, and he's doing full-time law plus running this business with a team of four or five. And when I spoke to him, he's just going, his mind's splat out with all this sort of stuff, but it can be done. And obviously it's a credit to yourself for doing that, because it's not a full-time business plus degree is definitely not easy. A lot of uni students complain about doing part-time work and part-time degree. So well done for doing that. And guys, thank you very much for your time today. Really, really appreciate a lot of genuine and honest insights as well. And big credit to yourselves for what you've been able to achieve. And thanks for sharing as much as you have. And I'm sure Shane and the boys will get a thrill out of seeing and hearing from you, as Philip and a lot of the other franchisees as well. So thank you very much for your time tonight, guys. I really do appreciate it. And we'll send you those vouchers via email as well. And just to give you a heads up, those are core emails, sometimes take a while to come to you. So they will, we do tell them pretty much tonight, and it takes 5 or 6 days to come via email. So if they don't come to you in 5 or 6 days, please email me and we'll sort it out for you.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks for the platform to talk more about gyms as well. It helps to spread the word about who we are as people and puts a human face on gyms.
Absolutely. Well, that's the big misconception. People think we're your employees coming from head office, right? So we're just trying to slowly try and just change that, where it's local people doing local things and supporting local communities. And that's the whole point of it, for sure. No, thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
See you, Joel. Bye.
Nice. Bye.
Friendship.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.